In the immortal words of my uncle, it's really hard to throw a baseball with three fingers. So stop playing around with those bear traps, comma, kids. We did not, but I still have all my fingers. So. Yeah.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
One, two,
three. Whoa, fast one.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. Hey, I said it this time.
Hey.
This is episode 274. I'm Lee.
Aren't you boys proud of me that I didn't fuck up the count in this time?
Well, you did.
Did. Like, we snuck a count in around your shouting. Like, that was... We built it in.
We're just going to need a guy... We'll have to, like, task rabbit a guy to stand behind Seth with a clapboard next time or something.
Marker.
I need you to stand behind this guy, and when us say... When Lee says one, you just yell two, and then you can leave. Here's $100.
Worth it.
Man, the costs are just skyrocketing.
Hey, listen. Labor prices are going up with good reason.
Sure.
My dad... who constantly is talking about how expensive restaurants are, and then I point out, you know, you could just not go to them, and he's like, but I want to, and it's like, well, then it's gonna cost money. I don't know what fucking conversation. Yeah,
also
we're
maybe you should pay servers more than $2.50.
Oh, it's so fucked up. And you know, I just gotta say this. I'm pretty sure when my mom is the one who signs the bill, she's a shitty tipper.
I was gonna say, are they still the, like, back in my day we did 10%, so I still do 10%? And you're like, no.
She might do less than 20. She might do like 18 or 15, honestly.
Yeah. Oh,
I know that fine. She's been mean to servers in front of me.
Oh, yeah. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't handle that.
Nope. Yeah. So that made me sad.
Yeah, fun bummers.
Sure enough. Yep.
We're all a little tired. Seth's been doing a lot of writing this past few days for career reasons.
Purposes,
I'm just tired because
life,
fucking crazy job bullshit, and you know, going on a lot of hours of work today. Zach's the only one of us who has really no reason to be tired.
Yeah, like, not at all.
It's just skates along with no responsibilities.
Know, you joke, but like, I do find that I can get 5 hours of sleep and just be very functional after now.
I mean, I 18 I
months.
Too.
I would challenge you to. I mean, this is not like a. Let me rephrase.
Do you have a fucking gauntlet? Are you about to slap him?
Yeah.
No. What I would say is, and now let's somehow find a way to get you a single day of 8 hours of sleep and see how different you feel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've been dying every day.
I think it would for sure be that thing. Yeah.
I'm not sure I've had 8 solid hours of sleep in probably 5 or 6
years. Oh, yeah. The
body, I mean, solid.
The body just eventually goes, that's not our thing anymore. We don't do that anymore.
We don't do that here.
Older people do statistically sleep less.
It's true. It's true.
Mostly, I think, because they are aware of how much less time they have subconsciously.
Is that what rots their brains, too? Is that why they tip 10%?
No, maybe.
Service workers?
Lack of sleep has been equated with like
shitty tipping,
loopiness. I guess I'll say
lack of sleep and shitty tipping would be the worst statistical correlation, I think.
Oh my god, our whole generation wouldn't tip for fucking nothing if that were the case.
Oh dear.
Yep. Unless you got paid to sleep, and then gig economy.
And a perfect. That'd
be pretty cool.
That would be.
I
he says yawning.
You know, for years. Truly, truly years, I resented sleeping. Like, I resented the idea that I had to sleep.
Yes.
because it was like so much more I could be doing instead of sleeping. And so now
it's good hangs and whatnot.
What are you, a libertarian? Like, oh, I can be productive 23 hours a day.
I didn't say productive. Micro naps.
The Tim Ferriss bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say productive. Okay. I said there were things I could do.
Yeah. I could I could read so many more Wikipedia pages on anything, I guess. Yeah.
I can watch read a bunch so many movies or dumb TV shows or like,
smoke cigarettes on the balcony with my friends. Yeah.
Smoke cigarettes indoors.
Oh, back in the day. Back in the day.
There's still a couple of bars in my neighborhood where that's a thing. So
I feel like I would walk in there and I would have an instant horrible pounding headache at this point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a little rough. I've only walked into one and it was unpleasant because it was like 10 in the morning and I was hungover and I was like, hey, I need some greasy food. And they were like, breakfast stops at 8.
Okay. And,
but and the drinking like, never stops.
I was going to say, there's a bunch of people drinking right now at 10 a.m. So like, all right, hey, whatever.
The third shift bars are... We're a drinking crew, but third shift bars are truly the most depressing thing. I've only been to like two, but one was recently and we did the same thing. Like, let's go get some breakfast. And this place happened to be open. Didn't realize it was a bar. Walked in and there were people pounding drinks before, like dressed in like business attire to go to work. And I was like, now I'm sad. This is rough stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a town that had a lot of third shift, and so like
if it's a third shift thing
and whatnot,
then for sure these were first shift people that were getting drunk before going to their bank job.
So it was like Korea, because that's a thing salarymen do. It's like
interesting.
You stay out all night, and you usually have an apartment in the city, and then your family in the country.
Oh,
and so you know, you're out every night. Drinking and
because of the obligation for social
and then on the weekends you come back and see your family maybe.
Yeah, doesn't sound great.
No, but hey, not really. Yeah, you know, as a former person who worked in a bank, or I guess as a person who formerly worked in a bank, one of them makes it sound like I'm dead.
Yeah, kind of.
I gotta say,
you are
not
a former
a
person.
Job I would want someone to be doing for me while drunk.
Yeah.
Turns out service industries, that's not a great thing.
Yeah. Well, there are higher on the list ones like bus driver, guy who builds bridges,
operator of motor vehicles and or machinery. Just saying, like, there were enough forms that I had to fill out, like, constantly that despite having worked there for months and months, it was still like, fuck, I fucked up that form. I have to start over again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Drunk, no chance.
Yeah. At the end of the week, they come to you and they're like, well, we're seeing there's 13 transactions and a total of $27,000 missing. So how'd you fuck up that many times?
Yeah. Well, my head teller would have had really, you know, taken me to task for that one. The 19-year-old who was in charge of all of us, because she was clearly the only adult who didn't drink and had her shit together.
So a true meritocracy. Yeah, you can only be so mad when you're like, honestly, you are good at this.
I only brought up the age to point out how, like, she was the person actually doing the job and deserved it. Like, despite us all being much older and many of them having been doing the job for years and years and years and years.
Right. Yep.
Fair.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Zach's faking a movie this week, I think.
Sure.
Right, yeah. Unless you guys have more bullshit.
Not really.
Nah. Yeah, not this time. We're too tired.
Yeah. We're tired, and this is like a pretty close together record.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We caught up on a lot of bullshit last time, yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the old days.
True.
Yep, I'm doing a movie.
True.
Oh, there it is. All right. So, I'm doing a...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. True.
Okay. Yeah. I knew there was. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You true. It's...
Seth.
Hate. Murder. It is called Don't Tell Her It's Me, aka The Boyfriend School, which I believe is an embellishment. Is that the actual subtitle?
Yeah. I mean, it's an alternate title.
It's an alternate title.
Okay.
It was it has been at varying points in time on various different forms of media released using either name. Just to give you a hint of how high the quality of this movie is.
Yeah, okay. Dubious.
Yep.
Cast is pretty good.
I completely forgot to fuck it up for you. God damn
it. I know. My cast is only 2.1 lines long, and that is not a thing I'm used to.
I was writing names. Other stuff, yeah. And I omitted it, man. I'm sorry, listeners. Fucked up.
It was getting a little out of control. We might have needed a little reset to take it back to like somewhat of the same
baseline.
Place.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's you could say that.
I think the last one I did took us like 13 minutes to get through just to explain what even was happening. So
here's my take on it.
Yeah.
Seth, you do not need to feel any no. obligation to do this if oh. you're especially if you're busy or have important things going on. Mm-hmm. Zach, fuck you. You can't make it sound like it's a good thing that this happened. This is bullshit. Don't try to trick him into not fucking with you anymore.
Why did I not see that coming? That was plainly obvious in hindsight. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Does Seth even fuck up my titles? I don't think
not
he does.
Not a
I don't
single know. Time. Never once.
Why do we only do it to Zach?
I don't know. We've been doing this for 7 years. I mean, it hasn't been the whole time, but it's been a while.
I feel like it happened once, and then it just sort of snowballed out of there.
Yeah. All right. Cast is Lil Stevie Guttenberg, Jamie Gertz, Shelley Long.
Billionaire Jamie Gertz.
Oh, yeah. She's married to whom?
A billionaire.
Okay. Mm. Fair enough.
They married for like years. Like I don't think he was a billionaire when they got married.
Oh,
but
well, good for her then. Shelley Long, Kyle MacLachlan, and Madchen Amik. So my guess based on
her in for you, basically.
Yeah, thank you. I was gonna say my guess based on those last two is this is a David Lynch movie, but it can't be because I feel like I know all of those. So
yeah, but to be fair. You think you know all of a lot of directors' movies, and then we sneak them in on you.
I have that hubris with between 12 and 13 Carpenter movies, so that's true. Good point. True. Yep. All right, I have two failed ones. Didn't quite work. First one, some stalking movie where a guy goes way too far on elaborate gestures and things, and it gets creepy until everything unravels. Mm-hmm. Don't tell her it's me. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like there's been a
1 hour photo sort of situation.
Yeah, or like Creep starring, what's his butt?
I think I'm misunderstanding what you're pitching if those are the two movies that are coming up. What I thought you meant like someone just keeps doing unwanted romantic gestures pseudo-anonymously and then it gets like out of hand. You guys are pitching like full-on horror movies.
Oh yeah, that's what I was picturing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But
yeah, it's been done clearly. So the other one is
We definitely can't do anything that's been done before.
Listen, I'm the only person left on this podcast who hasn't directly ripped off another movie. So.
Wait, when did I do that?
Literally, like 3 weeks ago.
You did it on purpose several times.
Lee denies that he did it. You did it purposely and admitted to it.
Oh, whether I did it or not, it was unintentional. Yeah. Seth just changed character names on purpose.
You did it
goof.
Very blatantly, Seth.
Yeah. I guess I've done that at least twice. Huh.
Yeah.
I only remember the recent Indiana Jones, but yeah.
I think I almost did it to you guys the time after that, and you guys were like, you motherfucker. And
You sort of pointed us in that direction.
Yeah, that sounds probable.
Yeah, but then I came up with a completely different thing. It was just to trick you.
You did.
It was the movie Shrek. I read you the...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, now I remember. All right.
Sure enough.
Continue.
Wow, weirdly, Shrek. I was trying to chop and screw Don't Tell Her It's Me, and it turned into Don't Tell Her It's Me. I forget, but it started coming up like donkey or whatever, and I was like, is this a Shrek
thing? It's all coming up donkey.
And that lasted 2.5 seconds, and I went, it is not that for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, second failed one. A daughter finds out entirely too late in life that her parents orchestrated most of her entire life. Mm-hmm. Nothing she's done or accomplished have been of her own doing. And now that she's left to reckon with this reality, you know, it is sort of fundamentally shaking her whole being.
It's right? Kind of a Truman Show-y sort of thing, except without the, I guess, the recording, but still just this, completely.
Yeah, this was the why I didn't do this. I was like, it's all Truman Show, like, that's been done as well.
You know, there's one of the threads of the actual, honestly, both of the things you've pitched contain shades of the actual movie.
Oh, okay.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, weirdly.
I don't think my real movie probably does, but
we'll see.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah, so here we go. Abrupt open on the Goots frantically going over the plan with a couple of servers in what appears to be the back of a restaurant. He explains they'll lead her down this kind of weird hallway. They'll mention that she's there for a special birthday tasting in the kitchen, that they're sure that she'll love it given her background in the industry.
Hey, how much do these servers make per hour?
I think this is a big city. This restaurant has to be pretty fancy. So let's say the same as everywhere else.
Oh, bummer.
There are some places that have done away with this.
I have seen where servers make like $25-$30 an hour and you don't have to tip and whatever. But I think those places are definitely the only, like, they're so famous that that's the only way to sustain that thing. Like, I don't think that works otherwise.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so he reiterates how thankful he is that they were able to put this all together for him. Madchen's really been through a lot this past year with her diagnosis and, of course, the big accident. Mm-hmm. And he can't wait to surprise her with both the ring and, no less, on her birthday.
Oh, boy. So
it's going to be a big night.
That movie, Big Night.
That happens in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Also, mark another thread for diagnosis.
Yeah, dude. Wow.
Seth messaged me diagnosis exclamation point.
This movie doesn't play out as watching two dudes cook a bunch of cool shit, but like, I do like that movie a lot. Is it Tampopo? Is that the thing they make?
That's what they make. Okay. Yeah.
The Babish made it.
No, wait. Tampopo is the ramen movie. They make Il Tempano.
Yeah. Babish made it, and he's like, this is an abomination. This is, what the fuck?
I don't think it's like a real thing that people actually would make.
Was not intended to be real.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I've never seen
anything. Anytime you throw whole boiled eggs into a thing, you've lost me.
Yeah, pie crust and then pasta and then eggs.
Lasagna
fucking
cake or something. I don't know.
It's like one of those old, like, British prison pies that's basically just a bunch of dead birds inside of a pastry that you're not supposed to eat. Like,
where they used asbestos instead of flour.
Why not? We're all gonna die anyway.
That way it doesn't burn in the oven.
And you can smoke all you want and your lugs won't catch on fire, which
they
is
sure,
how
they sure won't, because you're not gonna die last from long enough.
You're definitely not gonna die of lung cancer either, but it's the other thing.
Do you or someone you know have mesothelioma?
Probably. Statistically. This night is going to mark the end of her recent struggles. And they'll be able to start their life anew together. He goes to leave, but abruptly turns around and says, oh, obviously, don't tell her it's me. Menacing Jordan Peele style title card with exactly those words on it. Like white letters on a black screen, like wah.
That and a real like smash cut. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Discordant musical cue.
Which is very modern, but I assume this movie's from the 80s. So whatever. We cut to everyone milling about in this event room at what appears to be a very, very fancy restaurant. Goots is there looking obviously nervous. Shelley Long and Kyle MacLachlan are huddled in a corner talking about how they're not 100% sure that their mutual sister is the grand gesture type of person, but that she has really been through a lot of shit this year, and maybe this is just the thing she needs to, like, you know, help her out or whatever.
I like that mutual sister. That's
I wrote that down. I was like, is that a thing people say? I was like, well, no, but it is factual, so, like, that seems fine, I guess.
We can try to sneak that onto a language test this week.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
It's technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
I mean, the other way to say it is, like, they're all three siblings. Like, that was the most concise way to say it, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Being concise is important. Yeah, something that I know all about.
a writing critique I've gotten my whole life is, why so many fucking words?
Still same. Yep. Mm-hmm. The reason no one responds to your emails is because you ramble.
Yeah, I've gotten that
fucking
one.
Fucking asshole.
And also, we do not accept your academic paper because what the fuck?
we said the cutoff was 5,000 words.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm
God.
Sorry. Did you base this entire paper around a pun on a Dire Straits song title? Because probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but if you pull it off, those are the ones that go down in history that people talk about for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I lost my place. Jamie Gertz.
In case anyone was wondering, it was a paper about William Blake's poetry, and the song was "Water of Love" by Dire Straits.
Oh,
so,
okay, that's not that crazy. Like, if you didn't know who that song, which I don't, then you would have been like, okay,
yeah, okay.
It was "Garden of Love" was the poem, and it's more stupid and complicated than you're imagining. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It might be exactly as stupid and complicated as I'm imagining.
It's less straightforward than you're imagining.
Okay. Jamie Gertz is the, and I think I cast this role perfectly, is the over-involved best friend who clearly did most of the work that Gutz will no doubt take the credit for.
Mm-hmm.
She just has that thing about her. Yeah.
Is it because she's a brunette lady who's kind of tall?
And sort of neurotic. I feel like she always plays the sort of unlikable one, and that's probably unfair to her, but she does get cast as that thing a lot.
She did play a mom on a sitcom in the early 2000s, so, like, that checks out.
Okay,
gross.
Okay.
You know, yeah, it was like I think it was on the same night as Everybody Loves Raymond. You know, so it was like the CBS Aren't Moms Bitches lineup, like
the early 2000s, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I hate my wife.
Women who needs them. Yeah,
and Mark Addy from
that's gonna
Game
be
of Thrones
this. All this is gonna be taken out of context.
Yeah, that's a whole clip.
Mark Addy from Game of Thrones played her husband, who was American on the show, even though he's very British.
Makes sense.
Naturally. Yep, well, course. I mean, an American audience just cannot handle a foreigner in a lead.
Yeah, that's true.
How are you supposed to take them seriously? Is that Hugh Grant? Mm-hmm. No, Dad, it's not fucking Hugh Grant. okay, so it's getting close to the time, so they hit the lights and get ready for the big surprise. Madgen is led through the bowels of the restaurant as instructed. You can see she's quite nervous, as this is genuinely weird. Like, she had no idea what this was going to be when she showed up. Just that, like, she should go to this place. Mm-hmm. So finally they get to the door. The host opens it for her, and she walks cautiously into the near dark, which understandably is bizarre.
A restaurant should not be. Yeah, they're like, ready to
what
die?
Is happening? Yeah. Someone hits the lights, everyone shouts surprise, and we hear an abrupt gunshot. Shit's kicking off. We're shown a split screen with shocked faces of both Madchen and the Goots on either side. It hangs for what seems like a very long time on both of these faces until Goots, a little bit of blood comes from the side of his mouth, and he falls out of the frame on his side while we see a small puff of smoke from Madchen's side, while she remains in complete shock. So,
did she shoot him?
She sure did, yes.
Wow.
This moment, chaos obviously ensues. Most people panic and shout, especially Jamie, who is beyond hysterical, as is, again, the way I'm typecasting her. The siblings are stunned, but immediately rush to their sister instinctively. Madgen shakes off her stun shock, perhaps a bit more quickly than anyone might have expected, yanking the host into the room that led her there, and slamming the door shut. So this is jarring to everyone. Attention now turns entirely on her as everyone is confused. Sensing that she has to break the tension, she says very calmly, "No one leaves this room. Everyone's life depends on it." So, Now shit's gonna kick off.
Goots in it together.
Well, Goots is dead.
I mean, sure, yeah, but still. Okay.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Okay.
So that was like the heavy sort of setting the stage part. The middle bits are now happening. So the story unfolds. Some of this exposition is from Madchen to the group telling, like, trying to explain what the fuck is going on. And some happens like live in flashbacks or in real time, I guess. Madchen does have a disease. In fact, a bafflingly rare one, like super, super rare. So she was cold contacted by a mysterious company for some new drug trials. They indicated that curing this thing, she has will likely unlock cures for a lot of other common diseases. Like somehow, like nobody has this thing, but if they can cure that, it sort of skeleton keys other stuff or something.
Sure. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Like certain kinds of cancers, if you can find right. the like X factor, it helps yeah. to solve other cancers. Right?
Exactly that. Yeah. So wanting to live, she agrees, obviously. Lots of weird shit happens during this trial. It becomes clear that they were up to something and that her well-being is definitely not the main concern here.
Does she become a Limitless?
Not quite.
Mostly. Wait, like on that movie Limitless?
Yeah.
Yeah, much isn't, like that movie Limitless. Isn't that a, or is it more like
the TV show Limitless?
A Philadelphia's favorite son, Bradley Cooper?
Isn't oh, that? With his homemades and Krabby Snacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his zero awards to Lee's great
so
joy.
Hype. I can't wait for him to continue not winning Oscars this year. It's going to be so funny.
Does he have zero?
I don't know why.
No, he won for like Silver Linings or something, didn't he?
No.
He has no
you keep
Oscars.
Talking. I'm going to tell... I'm going to ask you, you keep talking at the end. I'm going to ask you to guess how many Oscars he's been nominated for.
I bet it's a lot.
Okay.
He's been in some shit.
We'll come back.
I bet it's not all Rocket acting.
Raccoon. Yeah.
He just directed that really bad movie that they thought was Oscar bait. We'll get to it. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And that's your clue. It's not all about acting.
Yeah.
There's many categories.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay.
That's because it's all about Bob.
Well. I don't think he was in that.
Interesting.
The yeah. Bill Murray film.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan.
No, it's a bad one. That's Richard Dreyfuss, Mr. Holland himself in it, too.
Richard Dreyfuss!
There we go. I was like, yeah. I knew I didn't have to ask for the impression. I knew it was coming.
You believe him? Jaws? Can you believe these kids are learning music? Don't empty your spit valve on her shoes! That's a thing I remember from that movie.
Yeah.
That did occur, as far as I can recall, but yeah. it's all a screen memory.
You know what? Mr. Holland's Opus is weird. You know how like the conceit of School of Rock is that Jack Black is using these kids to live his stardom? That's the mm-hmm. same thing as Mr. Holland's Opus. It's literally the same thing.
I thought Mr. Holland's Opus was a frustrated musician takes a job because he has a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes,
he loves
hey,
teaching,
you know, I don't have to give up mm-hmm. my own artistic pursuits. And I can also inspire kids and also mend my relationship with my deaf son, who oh. I hate because he can't hear music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, so sad in a... different way.
Yeah. Okay. I saw this movie once in 1996.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it since I was 10. So, yeah.
So yes. I have a very quick story related to that. The reason why I watched it at all is because in middle school, our band teacher would sometimes have temper tantrums and go hide in his office.
Oh,
when, that's like, fun. Kids were acting up or something, and he would just be like, all right, I'm out. And so, the assistant band director would just be like, all right, I guess we're watching Mr. Holland's Opus today.
Rather than, I don't know, directing band as their job in class. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm.
Nope. And what's, I don't even remember his name anymore, and I probably shouldn't say it, but he just would sit in his office and, I don't know, jacket or whatever. Like, you couldn't see into it, so.
Rage jacket, yeah.
That's, you do whatever you want.
That is
you
could do.
Pretty bad teaching.
I mean, in a similar vein, and I've said this before, the time that, you know, my algebra teacher was going through a really bad divorce, we watched Pi.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So,
at least there
it
was
just seemed to be a trend at my reasonably affluent school in the college town.
Yeah. Of the state you grew up in, that is probably the best place to do such a thing. At least a divorce is like an extenuating life circumstance.
Sure.
If you're just getting mad at children and going and jerking off in your office, that's a...
Now, to be clear, we don't know that this person was jerking.
That's what I just heard from my friend Seth. So that's canon now, as far as I'm concerned.
Potentially. All right. That's not slander.
I'll go.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Zach, tell us anyways, more about
this slander this unnamed person. Yeah.
Yeah. She, I always, whenever we do this, it's just my dream of dreams is like this person that we're talking about found the podcast somehow and is just like, wait a fucking minute. Is that me? Is that Seth Fartnoise that I taught in 1996?
Wow. That'd be fascinating.
That would be cool. Okay. So, yeah, Madgen left the trial abruptly, having figured out that it was... Okay. Close enough. Left the trial abruptly, having figured out that it was kind of something weird was going on there, to return to her friends and family. But it seemed to her that she was being followed this whole time. Like, mm-hmm. It starts getting very weird. As it gets increasingly weird, it was mostly benign, just kind of like nothing actually bad happened. It just seemed very creepy until one day someone actively chased her in a car, and she was involved in a fairly serious accident, which is the thing Goots was talking about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm, right.
Though she was mostly unharmed, the other person was very seriously injured, like near death, big bad thing. So she's kind of spiraling at this point, doesn't super want to tell everyone around her because she already feels like a burden having gotten the disease, like, you know, falsely, but... Like, it's just, it's so insane, and she knows that it's insane, and she's just like, yeah, I don't know. So.
Is this a prequel to Crash?
No, man, that would rule, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No, sadly,
I did rewatch that this week, and let me tell you, fewer crashes than I remember. Way more fucking than I remember.
Oh, well, that's the important part, I guess, for Cronenberg.
And in some sense, isn't that a crash?
In that movie, literally, yes.
I'm going to quote... Elias Koteas in the movie
does
Crash.
He say crashes
a case can be made. A case can be made. Okay. Of course, he's referring to how the Kennedy assassination can potentially be referred to as a type of car crash. So.
I really thought you were going to say Crash is the new sex, but all right.
I mean,
it's implied.
Listen, there's a
it's
whole
implied.
That, okay,
it goes without
video
saying.
Video drone is long live the new flesh. Mm. Existenz is
he has a weird flesh gun that looks like a cock.
Yeah, well, no, it's like it's the new something must die is existenz must die. Mm-hmm. So we got long live the new flesh, existenz must die, surgery is the new sex, and somewhere in mixed up in all that is car crashes are fucking.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
There's,
wow, really,
it's there's
you really get the whole Cronenberg canon right there.
Yeah. I'm checking them off. I'm checking them all off, you know? I'm trying to get through.
Hey, a case could be made.
A case could be made.
It's not a very good Elias Koteas, but, like, we'll work on it.
I can't do it.
I mean, how does he talk?
I don't know, but... You,
well, there you go.
You
got, don't know that it's not
got,
a good Elias Koteas, is it?
You got Dreyfus dead to rights, so... What do I
and
know?
We all know you can do a Brandon Cronenberg, so
oh, okay. Mm,
well, that's more you guys. Mine's the weakest for sure.
That's pretty past my bedtime. I don't know.
Brandon, so where'd you come from?
Oh, I've been here the whole time.
Just watching Crash.
Yeah, my dad never turns it off. I don't know.
No, uniform inspiration.
In jokes for no one. All right.
So yeah, anyway, this whole thing gets pretty out of control. She mm-hmm. bought the gun to protect herself, and though she thought that things were mostly back to normal until this night, where again things this all appeared very weird to her on the surface, and so mm-hmm. She reacted.
That's what it should.
Yeah, exactly. She reacted to the surprise instinctively, in her life's current context, and thought she had to defend herself. So It was not the plan, but it was sort of, you know, not understandable, but went along with her current trauma situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this, of course, brings us back to the present. We've done all the expo for the past. Just as she finishes this whole tale, there's a hurried knock at the door. The person announces that they're the police and to open the door. Jamie, being the resident square tryhard, does immediately... And Madgen grabs the person that walks through the door and pins the person down with the gun and, like, her elbow, I guess. Mm-hmm. Everyone is freaking out.
They did just kill Gutenberg, which is probably for the best, let's be honest.
Yeah, I was pretty happy that he is not in much of this movie.
I'm sorry. I just saw the E.T. statue.
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's there. It's been there the whole time. It like, has. For the last three episodes, and I love it.
It's been there during my work meetings, too.
You gotta get a light in there.
So far, no comments, but...
You gotta get a red light in that shit. Yep. Like, you gotta.
Yep.
It's easy enough. There are plenty of holes drilled in it.
I know, yeah. I should get like an LED little tea light candle or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So pins are down with a gun. Everyone's freaking out. Madgett insists that this is not a cop. This person is dressed like a cop, looks like a cop, etc. They all argue. Madgett gets fed up and eventually just shoots this person.
Jesus.
Everyone is yet again stunned because like this is insane. Madgett immediately pillages her corpse D&D style, looking for, you know, teeth, coins, etc. Mm-hmm.
I know that one well.
I know you do. Right. I know you do. finding plenty of stuff indicating that she is not, in fact, a cop. Our bystanders are now confused and starting to think that Madgett is less insane than she looked initially. Like, this is very weird, but, like, her shit is all adding up, so they're a little... on the fence, I guess. So some more wacky shit happens entirely in the room. Stuff gets wild and wilder. Like most of this just happens in the room except for the like flashbacks and stuff. So Jamie still can't believe what's happening is now the de facto antagonist. She's the one being like, this has gotten out of control. We have to call the real cops or whatever. But everybody else is mostly kind of surprisingly on board with Madgett's version of reality. Like they're mm-hmm. like, no, like everything she said kind of makes sense at this point.
They're sucked into to what's going on.
Yeah. And they're also in fear because this shit has all been happening in front of them for the last however long and whatever. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So eventually we somehow dispose of Goots and the not cop body. Let's say using some combination of, the fancy kitchen's RoboCoop and like a meat grinder or something.
I was thinking, yeah, like a meat slicer or a reverse griddle, make them real griddle. Yeah. So you can just, make sort of a, Tom Yum sauce with them or whatever.
We're not going to eat him. It's good.
Oh, right.
It's like catching a fish in the Susquehanna. You can't eat that
shit,
man.
I just
seen stuff.
I couldn't remember. There's like a particular soup where you thin shave like beef and then you throw it and it cooks it in the broth.
Oh, shabu shabu?
Shabu shabu. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I might try a slice of goots, but not like a lot of it.
Mm. Yeah, that's all fair.
Right.
you know what I'm thinking? Arby's.
God damn it, I was just going to say that.
Can I have it Denali's? No, never mind. I'm good.
I really wanted Arby's tonight, but my partner of the podcast, she took the car for a work event, I couldn't go get Arby's.
It is kind of sad to like Postmates Arby's. That's like... You have to
a bridge too far
reassess
for me.
Your life mm-hmm. after that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't live carless in a city. Like I can't, like that is not something
I'm not sure there are urban Arby's.
That's a good
I know where the closest Arby is to your house, and that's
that's not close, dude.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I know where the closest Arby's are to all of your houses. So like just
Jeez, is that why is that why you just demolish my toilet every time you come to visit?
No, it's because I drink too much and have IBS.
You open the door when he rings the bell and he's just throwing the Arby's away. He's like, oh, I didn't want you to see that. I'm sorry.
Still got a curly fry stuck in your shirt.
tucked behind his ear.
I have a curly fry behind my ear like I'm a fucking character in a goddamn Coppola movie a cigarette or something.
Uh-huh. Save it for later. You'll need mm-hmm. it. Yeah. Okay, so they've disposed of the bodies. Madgett has convinced
Pony Boy Horsey Sauce Boy. Is that anything?
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. All right.
Mm-hmm. Madgett has convinced Jamie just well enough to come with her afterwards, and she'll give her more proof that this whole thing is real and calm her down and whatever. Everyone else is now quite afraid for themselves and perfectly willing to pretend that nothing happens. This is the plan. Like, we just all go our separate ways and everybody chills the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, these people are now partially implicated in two murder cleanups and whatever else this whole thing is. So they're all like,
yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's like a lot of like her forcing people to help them dispose of the bodies. And stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, Madchen is like extremely capable in this because she's been hardened by this whole experience for the last X months or whatever. So she's like,
still, like,
guys,
I mean, like, Gutenberg probably still weighs a bunch and she needs some assistance, moving him around. Like, anyway.
Absolutely.
Would.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You ever tried
could
to
his
move
character's
a body?
Name be? Could his character's name be Gideon?
Why not? That sounds like a guy that I wouldn't mind if he got shot in the face. Yeah.
I mean, other than the Righteous Gemstone Gideon.
Oh, yes,
played by our
sure
beloved
enough.
Sweet boy, Skylar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just as they double check everything and decide it's time to inconspicuously depart, there's another knock at the door. This time, two voices can be heard announcing that they are FBI and to open this fucking door. It seems much more clear that they're the real deal this time. Everybody waits for a beat, I guess hoping that they'll just leave or something. Like, they've all been traumatized at this point. Like,
sure,
it's,
right.
They're at their wit's end.
Did see two people shot in front of them.
Yeah, exactly. This pause is followed up with a weirdly menacing, "Imagine everything's going to be okay." So now they clearly know something about this. Like, they know more than you would expect them to know, right? Because they know her name and whatever. So Jamie opens the door slowly and tries to play it cool as instructed, while Madchen is just out of the sight line behind the now open door, gun pointed very much at Jamie, and we get a close-up on her face as she mouths the words silently, "Don't tell her it's me." End of movie.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Jeez. So we start and end with "Don't tell her it's me."
Yeah. Like, it's like it's kind of like a locked door movie. Like, you know, it's it's all about the actors acting off of each other.
Yeah, which again, we killed Goots early, so that's good.
I'm not sure.
I think everybody else can act pretty well. Yeah, I have no problem with any of the other four people.
It depends on like what you're asking them to do.
They eat Andre. Or I guess just use the meat slicer on Andre.
Sure.
Or maybe on...
So it's like a mashup of My Dinner with Andre and Eating Raoul.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Nice.
With Commander Chakotay.
Okay. Before we get into the movie...
Not the one in Next Generation. Because there was a different Commander Chakotay in that.
Sure.
And then it was changed once they used the same character name for a completely different person. By the way,
we all have the same attention disease. This is such a dangerous triumvirate where we all need to be talking or we feel like we don't exist. This is so dangerous.
That is exactly how I feel.
Like, this podcast is just like, it should just be called Daddy Like Me Please or something. Like, we have the same disorder 100%.
Oh, there is definitely a podcast called Daddy Like Me Please.
Oh,
though.
It's and a different thing, I would assume. Yeah.
Much different. Before we do the real movie, do you guys want to guess how many Oscar nominations Bradley Cooper has?
Yeah.
And let me remind you, the nominations for this year in which he has made a movie called Maestro have not been announced yet.
Right,
so this
is
pre-Maestro. So
yeah, I'm trying to think of all of his shit. So Star is Born was huge. Silver Linings won a bunch of Oscars. Star is Born also won a bunch of Oscars. I'm
locking
gonna,
it in 15.
I'm going to go 8 acting and... two directing?
Splitting it up. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect you to do that.
Oh, whatever.
He has 9 total nominations.
Ooh, that was close. All right.
You were really close. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really close. Yeah. And IMDb is moving very slowly, so I can't... I'm not going to tell you the breakdown. But for instance, he has nominations for picture, director, actor, and screenplay. Like, he is across all of those categories for several different movies.
Wow.
And he has not won any, and it's gonna keep going this year. I'm calling it right now, and I think it's just gonna be the funniest shit. He's gonna get probably 2 to 3 nominations this year.
Yeah.
I just can't. Yeah. Possibly 4.
Wonderful.
Like, sure. Yeah.
I saw sister podcast Blank Check was talking about Abolish the Golden Globes, and I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. So they sold the Golden Globes to like private equity essentially and dissolved the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh, well, I mean, the Hollywood Foreign Press was like,
it was a made up thing. Bad news. It's whatever. Yeah. But like,
yeah.
Now they're trying to find hosts, and apparently every single person they've talked to is like, no, fuck that. So the Golden Globes might just not exist anymore.
So they went away for a year during the scandal, and then they came back for a year, and now they're going to be got. Wow.
I don't know.
They just announced the nominations yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. It seems like everybody for host is boycotting, so I wouldn't be surprised if people boycott, like, generally.
The
like,
actual show, yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Well, 2 years ago, they just announced all the awards on Twitter. Right. So I'm assuming it's going to happen that way. Yeah.
I love all the clips afterwards of drunk celebrities doing weird shit. Like, that's what the Golds are fun for.
It is, but, like, the Independent Spirit Awards have also some drunkenness, and it's usually a little more fun because it's, like, not always huge top-tier people, so it's just, like, working actors actually getting a chance to get recognized sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
fair. True.
Okay. Anyway, what's this fucking movie about?
Okay, so, Zach, do you want the IMDb 2-sentence summary for this one?
Sure. It's a lot, but...
Yeah. All right, so The Boyfriend School, or Don't Tell Her It's Me.
Yeah.
As a 1990 film.
Ooh, slightly rated too late.
PG-13.
All right.
See you, though. They have one fuck word and two shits.
Not going to get to see Goose's hog. All right.
No, you don't.
Well, in a manner of speaking, you do.
Because
he has a motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah, he rides a motorcycle for parts of the movie. Okay.
Sort of. Right. Anyway. Okay. So here we go. Cartoonist Gus has survived cancer treatment, and now his romance novelist sister tries to find him a woman and guide him. Will they succeed?
Ugh.
I didn't read the sentence before, and just the cadence on it is impossible.
Yeah. God, 80s movies are such cocaine. Like, that's nothing. That had so many details that are arbitrary and have no...
Right, let me try again. Gus has survived cancer treatment, and his romance novelist sister nailed it the first tries time. To baby, find baby, him baby, no. a woman and guide him. What the fuck is that? God damn it.
It's fine.
It's not a fucking sentence, by the way, because there's two ands in it.
Yeah.
It's still a sense. It's just poorly written. Zach, you mentioned earlier Shrek. This movie kind of kicks off with a white Shrek.
Oh, it is. he does look an awful lot like that time we combined Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Alternatively, show that I'm a huge fan of, Seth, I believe, also, The Flophouse. That's how I discovered this movie. Long ago, they talked about it and pointed out that the way that Steve Guttenberg is made up in the beginning of this movie is the closest thing we'll ever have to a live action Ziggy movie. He's kind of just like
because he
a lump without hair.
Yeah, and he's bald because of the cancer. Okay.
And he's more portly because he couldn't exercise. He had Hodgkin's disease, I guess.
Yeah,
according to the thing. But
yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And he's a successful cartoonist, and he cartoons about his battle with cancer
and
he's
got
a lot of fans.
Yeah,
uplifting.
So that description is basically the whole first half of the movie.
Sure.
The rest of it is Jamie Gertz is a journalist, and she is writing a story about Shelley Long. And
Shelley Long is the sister of Gus.
I was going to say.
Of Guttenberg,
Yeah, and Shelley Long's a romance novelist, and she used to be a journalist.
Romance novelist.
Successful cartoonist, successful romance novelist siblings. That's, what are the odds of that? That's just...
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. The Cusacks. So
it's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
So all three of them. Or two. Mm-hmm.
There's
three.
At least three, because Anne also.
Yeah. It's like a Culkin clan.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Skarsgård
and their mom,
brood.
Their mom was an acting teacher, and like basically every 80s Chicago actor was her student, including Jeremy Piven.
Ew.
That's why Piven is in so many like early Cusack movies in like tiny roles. Yeah.
Right, just as a little like a little weirdo showing up and being the friend. Yeah, gotcha.
And then also later in Gross Point Blank in a expanded version of the same character. So Gertz goes to talk to Shelley Long, and Shelley Long's like, come over for dinner. And she's like, she doesn't tell her this, but she wants to set Gertz up with...
Yeah, and initially Gertz is trying to do like an expose about how shitty Shelley Long is and how romance novels aren't, you know, a real thing.
That's what her editor, Kyle MacLachlan, wants her to do, but she keeps insisting, I'm going to write the story that appears, exists. Right. I'm not going to make up bullshit. We'll see.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're having dinner, and it's awful, disgusting dinner, because her husband's a terrible cook, Shelley Long's husband.
They make, like, a Chinese dinner, but there's, like...
Jellyfish.
It's all very, like... like othering to Chinese food, like in a really aggressive way.
And they're all, you know, Shelley Long's got on one of those silk blouses, the ladies' blouses with the Asian designs on them. You know what I'm talking about. The chopsticks in the hair thing. Anyway.
Not great.
Dressed like Willie at the beginning of, Temple of Doom.
I don't think Free Willy was wearing clothes. Musical
number. I'm just going to power through. Yeah. So it goes poorly. And
Shelley Long doesn't even jump over a child.
She might jump over her child at some point in this movie.
But she's not trying to escape captivity, as far as I'm aware. Well,
you don't know.
No, but she's trying to get her brother into captivity. The captivity of the old ball and chain, if you know what I mean. My wife! I live in my garage! Anyway.
Or as I call it, the sadness zone.
My children hate me. So Gutenberg is like, obviously that didn't go well. Look at me. I'm like not ready to get back out there. And Shelley Long is like, no, you are. But like, I'll train you. And like, you know, he gets on a workout routine and he starts tanning and stuff. And his hair,
like he's over the... Okay,
I was going to say, has he kicked the cancer at this point?
Yeah, he is in remission at this point. It's just that he's still got his cancer body, I guess, is the way the movie plays it. Yeah.
Which is a little confusing because typically you tend to lose a lot of body mass in that sort of thing. But
listen, I don't know. Yeah. So Gertz is writing this story, and she's reading all of Shelley Long's novels as part of the research, and she's getting swept up in them. And Shelley Long concocts this scheme to turn Gutenberg into a romance novel hero, basically, to sweep Jamie off her feet.
Sure.
The other story plot that's going on is Kyle and Jamie are technically engaged, but both of them kind of want out of it. And Kyle especially wants out of it because he's already dating Madchen. And she's in like three scenes. And they do eventually break up, and it's not, it's barely anything.
This was, in 1990 was around Twin Peaks, right? So she couldn't have been. Yeah, well, I guess she was that kind of famous, but she wasn't like famous at that point. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just before her Saturn Award nomination for Dream Lover. I don't know what that movie's about. I just saw it on her Wikipedia when I was looking for pictures of her because she's so pretty.
Wow. I'm seeing screen caps of Gutenberg.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, we got to get into this. As little as I want to talk about this movie, we need to get into this. Okay. So she... And by she, I mean Shelley Long gives him this makeover, and she's like, you need to be a foreign person, but you can't do an accent, so I'm going to have you do... Also, she used to be a linguist before she became...
Yes, she was a linguist, but she couldn't... She was like, yeah, there's no money in linguistics, which is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This is
statistically not a ton of money in being an author either, but...
Well, she's a very successful romance novelist.
She talks about her
career beginning as like she was the journalist and wrote this novel and it was so successful that she's like, well, I should just do this instead. So you'll see in a minute why this movie is so well suited to Seth.
Already a linguist, so that's a thing.
Remember that. Shelley Long's a linguist, and she's like, we got to make you from a country where no one's ever heard the accent, so they won't call you out on it. You're from New Zealand. And that's the other side. Seth, how is his New Zealand accent?
Yep.
Sith?
Okay, so he could say New Zealand correctly, but geez, I don't even remember how I described it at the time. It sounds like he's doing an Australian Barbara Walters impression. I don't even know how to, but he's like, I don't think I can emulate it because boy, oh boy, it was, because, you know, your Barbara, your ba wa wa wa, but it was like, blah, blah, wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah. It was, that sounds bad. That sounds bad.
It was rough.
Schwimp under Barbary.
But he did say, like, New Zealand. Yeah, so that's fine. Okay. Like, when you're like, oh, well, back in New Zealand, which is fine.
I mean, but good for them for picking a country that the accent wouldn't be offensive, offensive.
But before they settle on New Zealand, they do like French and
There's like a supercut of him doing Japanese. Over the top really
okay,
bad
I was gonna say I'm fine with French. Japanese is exactly the thing I was thinking. Like, don't do that. Do not do that.
Yep, and they did. Except also, they sounded identical. So
right,
yeah.
Right.
He also rides a Harley in this guise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So what do they call it? Lobo?
Yeah, Lobo. But not
Lobo
to be
Marenghi.
Yeah, Lobo Marenghi was his name. But not to be confused with the DC character Lobo that had premiered at least 3 years prior, who is also a biker, biker.
We've talked about, we can't talk about this again. No one's going to confuse this with that Lobo.
Yeah. I mean, I would have.
That Lobo has so many pockets on his clothing.
Well,
this
guy
has
barely any. That's because in the late 80s and early 90s, like, you couldn't be a superhero without pockets and also be like an inverted triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
with
have spikes all over you and shit.
And he has a mullet. In the movie, Gutenberg has a mullet. Pretty much the same thing.
He does, yeah.
He looks like a low-rent road warrior in this.
Yeah, well, he's riding a motorcycle, too. So
I feel like they make jokes about that at some point. Yeah, he's got the leather chaps on over the jeans and all that stuff, you know.
He's a coward. He wears pants under his chaps, yeah. Fuck that guy.
He is a coward. He should bare ball it.
Yeah. Yep. So he keeps running into Jamie, including like their initial meetup where he like accidentally saves her from a guy that was sticking up a convenience store with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, see each other a few times and she's like, oh, I'm in love with this guy. And then like there's the awkward scene where she brings him to meet his own sister.
Yeah,
and like,
of course.
And the husband doesn't know what's going on. So he like is
almost
really doing a bad job playing along. Yeah.
Right.
And Jamie has got to be like the least situationally aware person in the world because she's not figuring any of this shit out.
Of course.
Eventually they sleep together and then he confesses who he is, and it's a movie from this era, so I'm supposed to root for the man who convinces a woman to have sex with him under completely false identity pretenses.
Mm-hmm.
and then she's upset, and why is she so upset? Oh, because he raped her. That's what happened.
He's implicitly the good guy because 1990. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, she did kiss him while he was asleep too, which was a little weird.
It's not
in the same scale, but it still is like an unpleasant thing.
None of these things are good.
I am unsurprised by any of it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jamie goes and confronts Shelley Long and she's like, what the fuck? Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Shelley Long's like, no, you did fall in love with my brother. You fell in love with him the first day. You just couldn't see past his cancer body, I guess, and it's like, and he was just being himself. He was just doing the voice.
The way she did says, that was so excellent.
She says, "What the fuck did you just say to me?"
Yeah. And then you know, we've also like, and Shelley tells her like, "Well, you know what? You fucked it up." Because Shelley turns her around on this idea of like, "You're right. I do love him."
Sure.
And she's like, "Well, you're too late because he's going to New York." So then,
and says
Jamie,
he'll see her in 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamie takes a car over to gets her shitty car over to Gutenberg's house where she just misses him as he gets on a cab to go to the airport. So she takes his motorcycle, which she cannot really ride. takes it to the airport, eventually just abandons it in front of the airport.
This is the second time that motorcycle has been abandoned and not stolen, inexplicably.
Oh, it's a,
well, we don't know that it didn't get stolen here.
It's a Harley. That's Everybody true. Assumes, oh, it probably broke down and they abandoned it. It's not going to run.
it's not going to run well to begin with. Also, and Lee, also...
I love the tone that you're using to describe this is like the tone that I would have used for oral exams in grad school, where every sentence is like, so then there's like this fucking thing, and then I guess there's this other fucking thing, and like I think that is what I don't actually.
I'm gonna so sit here and talk about code.
We're so close, guys. Sorry, go ahead. I know.
Yeah. So she runs him in the airport, and she's like, "I do love you," and he's like, "Ah, yeah, I love you too." All this shit, and she's like, "Well, I guess I'm moving to New York with you," and he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about? I'm just going to Michigan for a wedding." And then it's like, "Oh, Shelley Long," and then Shelley Long is somehow watching them with binoculars, like from far. I don't know where she's supposed to be that she can see into the airport and see this is happening.
We need her movie. She sounds like a pervert.
I suspect she has like Legolas eyes where she can see up to 2 miles
what are her
away.
Elf eyes
like,
see. Yeah, that's basically it.
Yep.
Shelley Long has a daughter who's like 3 and doesn't really talk except
to say my uncle or something.
My uncle, and that's one of the tip offs that Jamie Gertz never picks up on is that she keeps calling this guy uncle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Movie sucks.
Yeah, it sounds like it's of its time.
It's kind of nothing. I mean, honestly,
I'm not surprised. This sounds like a thing that would have played on TBS in like, let's say, 1993. Like,
Now the title, the whole deal with the title. This movie's based on a novel by someone named Sarah Bird, who I read a little interview snippet from her, and she said, "You know, I wrote the screenplay." And it's amazing how you can create a mediocre screenplay out of a mediocre novel. So she's got a sense of humor about
That's
it.
That's fun. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 You know what? Make that money, Sarah Bird. Good for you.
Yeah. Why not? I don't know that you're bad one way or the other, other than you wrote this story that I find objectionable.
Well, you seem to be self-aware, and that's good, I guess. Yeah.
Right, pretty much.
The whole deal with the title, it's called Don't Tell Her It's Me, but when they were like showing it to test audiences are like, what the fuck is that? So they're like, okay. So they came with another title, which was The Boyfriend School, and test audiences also thought that was terrible. And then there was a third one that I don't remember. That was somehow worse than all of them, and then they just gave up and decided to call it Don't Tell Her It's Me.
Sure, yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not?
That's not even clear in the...
I'm seeing that Beth Grant was in this movie. I'm a little sad I didn't get her, but...
She is. Yeah, she has like one scene. She's an intimacy coordinator that Shelley Long works with. So she has
a
fun scene.
They had those in the 90s? The early
90s? I guess
90s?
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, she's supposed to be like a Dr. Ruthie kind of person.
It was actually a pretty good... It was one of the better like sort of characters in the whole thing. Because she was like, you're just not like... ready to talk about this sort of stuff so we can talk through it or whatever, so
okay. Well,
you know, you bring in like a good quality character actor into a movie and tell them do your thing for this one scene. It's like, yeah, you know what, sure, what the fuck, no one's gonna see it, I'm gonna get paid either way, let's have fun.
Much like the screenwriter, make that money. Do your thing.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
I have one more thing that I feel I need to bring up. What do you want to talk about with this?
Well, I already mentioned the the villain to anti-hero to eventually, you know, well, mostly anti-hero, Lobo from the DC comics that we can talk about extensively. Sure.
It's like, where are you going with this? That's what I couldn't figure out.
Siri, mute Seth. Mute Seth real fast.
Nude Seth.
No. So, well, yeah, okay.
during that robbery at the gas station, one, gas was under $1.
What is this? In the 90s? Stone Age? Of course.
Also, like, you know, he like sprains his ankle or something during the robbery and is taken home by
by Jamie Gertz and like just leaves the Harley there just in the middle of nowhere, and I'm like, all right, but
it was, you know, it was a more innocent time, I guess.
Also, nobody gives a shit because it's a piece of crap bike that, like, one, probably doesn't even run, but also cost $10,000 even then.
So yeah, why? that was the first malaise era for Harleys where everybody was like, wait, are these bad? And everybody else went, uh-huh.
Actually, there's when the scene when Shelley Long and her husband have to play like they don't know who Gutenberg is, before the husband knows what's up, he comes in the house. He goes, "Whoa, you got the bike running!" is the first thing he says. There you go.
I don't see any oil on the floor. What?
Yeah. What? The gaskets aren't just it's leaking.
It's not
to
just
hell.
Spraying every kind of liquid out at every angle.
Yeah. Also, when they're doing the sort of workout regimen for Shelley, like Shelley Long is like training the Goots to like, you know, run around and stuff. She's riding on a Honda Elite.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Like, I think it's the 125 model, but it also might be an Elite 80, depending, yeah. Like, so...
So they had the same top speed and capability, essentially.
essentially, yeah. But, like, the you know, the Elite 80, like, didn't... It was small enough that you could have a DUI and still drive it, right?
Sure.
But
yeah, we all lived in the town we lived in. Yeah, there were a lot of people with
But Elite 80s, like, they were only released in 84 in the States, as far as I can recall. So like, it must have been. I'm guessing it was a 125. Anyway, I thought you might find that interesting.
I do, bud. I do. Thank you all for the inside motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Okay. So another thing. Steve Gutenberg has like a weird little totem, weird little plastic totem that he accidentally,
part of his New Zealand character,
quote unquote, for his New Zealand character, that he leaves at Jamie Gertz's house so that she has a reason to like find him and give it back. And I was thinking, like, oh, like, he's a New Zealand character, why wasn't it like the New Zealand version of a tiki, a high tiki?
Because someone would have had to do that research, presumably.
Well, also, like, it's a weird non-cultural appropriation win, because, like, you shouldn't be wearing that if you're not actually from there.
Sure.
And so them just choosing a random hunk of plastic was actually a weird win for non-cultural appropriation.
It's the thing that a person doing that thing would have actually done, is kind of what you're saying. Like...
Well, yeah, like, basically, like, I am glad that they didn't actually use the cultural object, but also they, like, probably would have had they known what it was.
Yeah.
So it's, like, an accidental not being shitty, which I can appreciate.
Yeah.
I don't really like it.
You know, stopped clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, sure enough. Speaking of Gutenberg, I thought he...
Unless it's military time and then only once. But...
That's true.
That's how I feel.
Speaking of Steve Gutenberg, I thought he had died because he hasn't been in a movie in a... Or at least a movie. Wow. No, fuck Steve Gutenberg. He seems like he sucks ass. Him and Ryan O'Neill can both die. Oops, got one.
Wow.
I don't know that Steve Gutenberg has punched a child in the face, but he kind of seems like that person, right?
So the other day when Ryan O'Neill died, by the way, rip Barry Lyndon, Ryan O'Neill died. Yep. Literally that night, my partner was like, "Hey, you pick what, like, you come up with suggestions for what we're gonna watch tonight, and I'll pick from your suggestions." And I made a list of suggestions, and two of them were Ryan O'Neill movies, and in both of them, I put after the title parentheses, "Because Ryan O'Neill died today." And she looks at it, she goes, "You know, I would have picked up on it after the first one, but I appreciate that you're being thorough."
She got to the second one and was like, "Wait, why is he... Oh, he's still dead. Okay, cool." Yeah.
Oh, he didn't come... Yeah. Did he come back and die again?
No. So I went to his IMDb page to see if he's alive. He is alive, turns out. In his top, I just eyeballing it, 15, like the you know how they list them chronologically, he's in a lot of shit. The least recent one is 2018. He has been in 15 things in the last 5 years.
Holy shit.
Here's some titles, though. Just a really.
Okay. I'm gonna jump out on a limb and think a lot of them are Christmas themed because that seems to happen to a lot of that people. That
would be so much cooler than the thing I'm about to say.
I hope it's God's Not Dead 3.
Starting.
Well, he's. I thought he was like pretty famously Jewish. Like,
I have no idea.
With that name,
Gutenberg. Yeah. okay. Lesbom. 2018 has to be bad. He's in a movie with 3.6 stars on IMDb called Roe v. Wade, and he plays Justice Powell, a Supreme Court justice, I have to assume. That is unhinged.
That's definitely imagine. Yeah, there's no way that's not a conservative movie.
Yeah, it's probably one of those what's his butt production company things. Yeah,
I guess it could be a historical drama about Roe v. Wade. I don't know enough about historical members of the court to know if there was a Justice Powell on the court at that time.
Same.
Yeah.
Again, this has a 3.6. It's got to be really bad. That might be kind of the end of it. He was in The New Little Mermaid. Or no, sorry. Nope. He's in The Little Mermaid, not The New Little Mermaid. Also came out this year somehow.
He's in like an Asylum Pictures Little Mermaid knockoff.
It looks like it. Yeah, it has 75... ratings on IMDb, so.
Oh, so we could tip that scale.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
I mostly think of him as, like, in latter-day Gutenberg.
Powell was justice. Because, like, okay. Because that was the Burger court, famously. The Warren Burger court.
Oh.
Yeah. Boy.
I don't know.
I'm going to pivot off of this because it's getting depressing.
Yeah.
I mostly know him from, like, these days from that The Party Down episode. Where he plays himself and has everybody
this is the,
parties
this
down.
Is the lane he should stick in. Is just, you're that guy. And he goes, I am. And everybody goes,
Sure. Right. My very last point is what I called Gutenberg when he first unveiled this costume. That was Leather Daddy Gutenberg or Gluteus Maximus Berg in those chaps.
Okay. Well, again, he wore jeans under him, which sucks. You almost said Leather Daddy Gutenberg, which...
Gutenberg, yeah.
I'm way more into, I think.
Yeah.
That's something we could turn into a t-shirt.
Leather Daddy Gooper. Yeah? So all right. So let me pause at this. Uh-huh. So we have a picture of Gutenberg in this outfit, right?
Uh-huh.
But he's just got like gack all over him.
Oh, I was thinking chaps. So like, there's on the front. It's
wearing chaps.
Yeah, no, but on the front of the t-shirt, it's just him looking like he's wearing chaps. And on the back, he's actually gack. So the back is just him leaking out of the back in the chaps.
Now, can we work Paltrow into this? Like, can he be wearing a shirt with Paltrow's face?
Yeah, she seems litigious. But yeah, why not? Fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't want to involve that thing.
It's Goop. I don't know what to tell you.
Sure, but like they don't need like a weird jade egg or thing.
No one does.
Well, maybe there's just a little jade egg on the ground next to him. That's our nod. Our
and on the him. On the hem on the bottom, it just says "What's in the box?" Yeah.
Yeah.
It was her head.
On the hem. We can get printing on the hem.
Oh, was her head?
It was.
Is that how that movie
is? I know, right?
Oh my God.
Okay. Man, this is off the rails. Okay.
I have one thing. Mm-hmm. This movie's filmed in Charleston, South Carolina. Ooh. It takes place in Charleston, South Carolina. Like
I was going to say where that, friend of the show blank lives in, but let's just say I think a friend of the show lives there. Right?
I don't know, dude.
Okay.
literal days after the end of filming, a hurricane sweeps through Charleston, and basically every set they filmed on, every exterior that they used for like a house set, all of those homes were destroyed.
Whoa.
Like, it's, you know, I don't believe in God, but like, if I, like, God was like, this is not what I gave you free will to do. Not to make this movie. Like,
God saw the beginning.
Don't tell her it's fucking me.
He saw the beginning of the production, and he tells some angel, like, keep an eye on that. Let's see where that goes. Yep. And then it got to the end, and he's like, yeah, that's a problem.
He sent those angels down, and somebody tried to fuck those angels, maybe Steve Guttenberg, and then he was like, all right, yeah. Gamora Part 2, yeah. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right, Zach. Hey, money. What do you think this dumb thing made?
1990. Right. Well, you said they changed the title twice.
It cost $6.7 million at the time.
Okay. I think
most of that went into Goot's pocket.
A million of it went into Gutenberg's pocket. Mm. Steve Guttenberg got $1 million out of the $6.7 million they spent on this.
A lot ratio. Uh huh. Yeah. I'm gonna guess this made $9.4 million.
It made 1.2, bitch.
Oh no. I should have known. When you almost changed the title three times, that is not a good sign.
It turns out that's not a great plan.
1.2 is so bad. Man, that was back when studios didn't really just like dump stuff. Like,
yep.
Because theaters were so big, they were like, ah, just put it out, it'll be fine.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
That's terrible. So I guess we're into ratings then. The sure. IMDb rating.
Really quick, okay. I just found Pauline Kael's review from 1990, and the title of it is "Shy Man Becomes Mad Max ; Wins Girl."
Okay,
that is
from what you described.
That's it. That's it's on the tin. Yep.
Can you find the Gene Shalit review?
No, I'm not gonna look for it.
Wow, Guttenberg wears chaps in this film. It really chapped me because it was so poorly organized. Or something, I don't know.
Lee, I know you're not a parent and you never desire to have kids, but that is the closest I've ever seen you come to parenting. Seth took a deep breath and started Gene Salad voice and you said, fine, I'll fucking find it. This is, in essence, all that parenting is.
Wonderful. Okay. Lee, did you have something else, or do you want to get into this?
No.
Okay. All right.
I can go first if you want me to.
Yeah, let me give the IMDb with 3.2 thousand votes. 5.7.
Okay. That is very few votes, and yeah, sounds about right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The original is barely a movie. Mm-hmm. It's just boring and bad.
It's a tight 100, 2.1. Though. One. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
2.1, tight. You say?
Yeah. I think
2.1.
Mm. Okay.
Zach, I enjoyed your movie. Fun little, tight drama where the world is a lot bigger than what we get to see necessarily. So we got to keep guessing. Yeah. There's a lot of tension. So let's we'll go 8.1.
Ooh.
We'll give you we'll get you the 6-point delta.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Love to see it. Thanks.
The original, it's a pretty much a nothing film. It's just boring, but it is a tight 100, which, you know, is,
you keep saying the words tight and 100 next to each other, and that's, I don't think that's,
hey, I mean, like, it's only 10 minutes longer than a tight 90, so
yeah, but it makes all the difference, I think. Yeah,
which is only 10 minutes shorter than you know, 110, which is quite long. So
had to make sure.
Can we just take any of those numbers Seth there. Said and take them as his rating? Can we just
Zach, I'm gonna give it a 1.9. And Zach, for your My Dinner with Raoul, at least in my head canon.
Yep.
Your Arby's commercial. You're very artful Arby's commercial.
Wow. It's really long, though.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. The Super Bowl money we're going to have to spend.
I bet it was a Super Bowl commercial. Holy shit.
Don't you dare cut back to the game.
It's going to be the Heidi Bowl
the
all
public
over again.
Needs this.
The Arby Bowl is what we're going to call it henceforth. But still,
I mean, there might be one of those. There's so many college games.
For your Arby Bowl solicitation, I'm going to give you a 8.2.
Okay. Solid. Solid all around. Yeah, that Delta ain't bad. I ain't mad about it. Man, when hearing about this kind of movie, it just always makes me so happy that I didn't have to watch it this time.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I did watch it at 2x speed for a lot of it.
2x, not even the 1.5.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of nothing that happens.
Sure, sure. I buy it.
Yeah. And I slowed it down or maybe like rewound, and that sort of cost me some minutes. But
when there's
still 2x.
When there's Goots in Chaps and you're like, maybe they'll turn the camera around. I might see some.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a case of ball sackers where we find a little hint through there. But
there's goo and scrote on the back. Yeah.
No, not even a hint of sack.
Now,
so now we have to draw like just two just very tasteful shadows of circles.
I'm thinking it's a dual purchase combo situation where we get them little tiny truck nuts that you can hang off the back of the
Oh.
You know? Just a little tiny guys.
Well, now we're talking.
What's that go for? Like $85 these days?
We're getting really small ones, like a keychain. And so, really, you cannot wear this shirt without it just fucking up your back if you sit down ever. That's the plan.
What if we recut the movie Crash and added truck nuts to all the movies?
Especially to the NA Silver Miata. Man, I like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we should talk to David.
Now that's a fake movie I'd get behind.
Literally. Probably he'd be down. Mm-hmm. I assume. Yeah.
Yeah. Alright. Let's call up Brandon, and then he'll talk to his dad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can really get this rolling.
Yeah, we have the end with Brandon for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll work on it. Alright, next week Seth is doing a movie. Called.
I like that you think we have an in with Brandon because we pirated a movie he made and talked about it before we were supposed to be able
Lee,
to.
I don't know who the fuck Brandon is, but I have an in with Brandon very much.
Yeah, it's Brandon Quarto.
Fair enough.
Yeah, dude.
Next week, Seth is doing a movie called The House. Nope, sorry. House of Yes.
House of Yes.
No article.
Yes. House of Yes.
No article. Okay. Yeah. Well, that sort of limits the letters I can play with, but that's fine.
It kind of does. That's true.
It removes three of them.
Yeah. I know. I couldn't do like Theo. Yes.
Well, that's up for
Theo.
You to decide. Yeah. I'm just watching a sober Lee being tortured. Just endlessly.
his eyes look so tired.
So sad
like,
and tired.
Boy, he's... Wow. I sure am glad I wasn't up at 6.
I know.
Studying.
Oh, I was working at 6.
I'm glad I didn't drink 13 to 14 ounces of Malort 4 days ago.
Oh, my God. Like got home... Well, and got home, and I was still drunk, but, like, the next day, like,
Wait, Malort out at a bar? Wait, what?
No, I bought a bottle, and I shared it with
Let's
someone.
Respect that achievement. You got home. That is astonishing.
I didn't drive.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
Wait, you weren't brown bagging that out on the street?
Yeah. No. Where the cops are like, hey, you're gonna have to pour that 40 out, and then you just breathe fire into their
like, hey cops, ever heard of wormwood?
Truly though, had like the next day woke up, thought I was fine after a real big
it's the eye of the storm before. Where you're still drunk enough where your body goes okay.
we can survive this tremor.
And then like throughout the course of the day, just like started thinking, how long would it take me to pour out all of my alcohol like just start a new
especially recently now in our mid to late 30s. I have had that moment so many times where I was like, I knew this day would come. Is today the day? Am I done? Is this it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you made it into Tremors, and then you became Tremors 2 and 3 and 4 after that. Yeah,
eventually I became the one where it's like a prequel in the Old West.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did I get this gun?
4, if I'm not mistaken. Regardless. House of Yes. That's me for next week.
Yeah, that's your whole biz.
I'm going to say yes to ending this podcast. Yeah? No? Yeah? No. Okay. Bye.